got an okay lighting setup compared to last week too. Yay. We're probably a little bit too bright,
thanks to Tony, honestly, because Tony was the one who was like, yeah, I use like this. And then like, I've got the ring lights set up too. And I was like, oh shit, the ring lights, like, duh.
Yeah. And we put one right here and it's like, yeah. And using the right camera this time is really doing wonders. It's magical.
Magic.
I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm doing with my hands. I know we're on camera and I'm just, you know.
Now you realize that you have hands that can be seen and all of the things that we used to say. This is great for an audio podcast.
Yeah.
No longer applies.
No, it doesn't. Shit.
Yeah, no, it applies. Yeah, it applies differently now because now they can see everything.
I'm still going to treat it the same way to a degree because I don't want to lose what we had as far as just knowing it was audio and it was about talking about things. I'm just going to try to be.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not going to change anything about how we do our shit.
Oh, it's not like we're going to say Exhibit A.
Yeah. Well, we could become John Oliver. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
it's true.
I mean, literally the biggest difference is that I actually like put on makeup before we record now.
So did I. So I'm
very minimal.
Same.
Very minimal.
A little bit of foundation. No, see these dark circles. That's what happens when you have three kids. Don't do it.
Hook you up with some concealer.
Yeah. Oh, this actually isn't Maybelline. I was born with it.
Yeah. Fire.
Nice.
You know what? I just keep thinking family at Olive Garden. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Fact.
Oh my gosh. Why I cannot believe
that. Why haven't they done a crossover? Like, why is there not a fucking Olive Garden Fast and the Furious crossover? It needs to happen.
Yeah.
There should be.
I agree.
Whoa.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying to get used to the new setup right now.
I thought it was going to be her because Mozzie just jumped up and walked past my microphone at the same time that you ran into yours.
Nope. It was me. I'm trying to get like this setup, but like we're trying our microphones at different angles because we noticed like we sit with them like normally just like right here blocking our faces and everything, so
yeah. Well,
I had to move slightly so that I could show off my Be a Goldfish poster now that we actually have
video. Doing video. Yeah
Well, you still can't see it because your cat's tail, so
yeah,
just yeah, FYI.
That's all right,
we'll be all right with this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she'll be back.
Look, I feel like after the last couple episodes, then going into this one, like it was, I don't know, I wouldn't give it an A. I'd give it like a solid C, maybe B minus. It was just kind of.
I think it was like, I don't know, like the intro portion was for me, it was kind of boring. Like there wasn't a whole lot that happened. There was like one thing really of value that happened in that. The daily was, it was all right.
I kind of liked
it. I liked it. But there's like there wasn't a whole lot that happened there.
Yeah.
And then it's like this deliberation nomination, like segment of the show, like it like went fume and like so much shit happened in that like 15 to 20 minutes right there. Fuck. And then it just right back down into the elimination, which was, it was cool, but. Again, like not a lot really happened. I mean, I guess there was a few like exciting moments where it was like, oh, he almost got it in. But I don't know. It was definitely not as good of an episode as last week, in my opinion.
So think that I benefit from being a fan of Survivor because not just because it was focused on the Survivor players, but because it was formatted like a Survivor episode. You've got like a little bit of conversation beforehand. Then you go into the challenge, they do the daily, then as soon as like the votes start coming out, then it's a mad dash to try to figure out if you have the numbers. So I liken the two names being put up of like the Cassidy and Underwood as coming back from the immunity challenge on Survivor. Because after that, then it's just like, thank you, Mozzie. That is just full tilt. Who has the numbers? Who are we voting for? How's it going to go down? And then people are throwing other people's name out in one conversation, and then they're turning around and having a conversation with the person who they just said their name. So it's a constant shuffle at that point. So for me, I'm used to that.
Yeah.
A lot more, because it's much more Survivor, and it's because it's the Survivor players that are having those conversations than it is like a normal Challenge House episode.
Right.
Well, and look, I'm going to be honest, this is the first time we've seen a group of Survivor players scramble because one person kind of mismanaging their political game.
Yeah.
And even, but with that being said, I don't think we, in quite a while, we've seen two Survivor players have to go against each other.
No, I don't ever, because no Survivors have gone home.
Well, not even in this season. I'm talking about Worlds USA One.
I'm okay.
You know what I mean?
It's been a while. I can't remember all of them, but yeah.
Well, yeah, it's definitely been a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was interesting to see how that gameplay all unfolded. Mm-hmm. But I also think it would have been very different if Chris didn't have a fucking meltdown post eliminate or post daily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think the votes would have gone differently. I don't know. It was an interesting episode. You guys want to just get into it?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't have anything else interesting to talk about.
Hey, everyone. Oh, fuck. I forgot we have video. I try to do it and just like stare at the mic and I can't do that anymore. Jesus Christ. There's a whole new element to this. Fuck.
Well, this part's being kept in because that was amazing.
Yeah, I probably agree with 100%. That. But all right, let's try this again. I'm going to include you guys now, too. thank you guys, everyone, for coming back to the Challenge Fandom podcast. We're back to recap episode. What was that? 9?
Yes.
Which is Enemy of the State, not to be confused with episode 3 of Double Agents, because we're just recycling titles at this point. Not even from like 20 year episodes, but like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So awesome. That's all I have for that shit. Like what?
Yeah, we gotta put a little bit more into the creativity of the titles, guys. Come on. And I know we talk about this all the time, but come on. Like there's a plethora of options.
Why not just call it Double Agent? Like that's all you had to do.
I was going to say, it's also the second title that's a Will Smith movie from this season.
Exactly.
That's true.
Do you think Pursuit of Happiness is coming next?
Oh, maybe.
Yes. Oh, yes. Maybe After Earth. That's the final. I don't know. Bad Boys.
Oh, my God. We'll see.
Don't say Bad Boys. Then they'll just make 3 episodes that are Bad Boys 1, Bad Boys 2, Bad Boys 3.
It's all about Fessy and Josh.
Oh, my God.
They're both from Florida.
Did you make that a meme once at one point?
I don't know.
Forever ago, or what was it? You made a meme.
I don't remember, though.
I don't know.
It was so long ago.
It was.
Anyways, guys, welcome back to the Challenge Fandom podcast. We're going to be breaking down episode 9 of Challenge USA 2, Enemy of the State. You've got myself, Ricky Hayes, my beautiful wife, Karina Hayes. And of course, we've got Tony, Stats, and Info Lance, two people for the price of one. That's how it goes. Actually, this whole shit's free, so just enjoy. Like I said, we're going to be breaking down this episode, Enemy of the State. They just ripped off fucking Double Agents titles. They could have just called it Double Agent, like we said. With that being said, it was an interesting episode. We got to see Survivor scramble for the first time in a long time.
Yes.
And yeah. Good job to the challenge, because as much as you were saying, Tony, earlier that this is kind of a Survivor themed episode, it's very much a challenge produced episode with all the foreshadowing that happens.
100%. I took timestamps this time because of how frustrating it was. To preface, though, a minute 38 is the previously on, to put into perspective. Nothing actually starts until a minute 38, 2 minutes and 32 seconds. Foreshadowing dictates Survivor's going in. 3 minutes. Foreshadowing dictates Seabass is going in.
Yeah, like right out of the gate, it's Michaela's confronting Chris about how he's playing the game.
Yeah, that he's shady gameplay, which we haven't really seen.
I haven't seen that shit. Yeah.
Well, we haven't seen much of Chris's gameplay. So, you know, so then it's like that's also foreshadowing to, you know, it was heavy this week.
I think it was just implied the way she did, but what she was really saying is like, why are you hanging out with Josh and Fessy and Corey so much? Well, why are you so cool with them?
Look, it's so, here's my thing is, first of all, they have this conversation right in the kitchen, like in the open for anybody and anybody's mama to come and friggin' hear it. And so that kind of confused me a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was like, why are we having this conversation right here in the kitchen where anybody can hear it? And even like Sebastian is standing right there in the kitchen at one point. There was somebody else standing in the kitchen at like when they first started. So like there was obviously people in the home moving around, you know, so it's just very weird.
I just don't understand the point of not being kind of blunt in this situation, which would be like, look, I'm never going to vote for you guys because we're all Survivor Strong. But at the same time, I talk to other people just like you talk to other people, because at the end of the day, it's an individual game.
But even on top of that,
it shuts down the whole conversation, though.
Yeah. But even on top of that, he doesn't even claim it as like a friendship type thing. He's like, there are certain, I mean, he didn't say certain, but we all know what he meant. Yeah. He said there were certain survivors that he's keeping safe that he likes, and certain vets that he likes that he's keeping safe as well. You know, and then he went on to name, you know, like three or four vets and one survivor and Seabass. I'm like,
yeah, like lie. Lie, bro.
Something.
Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you want a secret to a good social game? Lie. Be like, and you, Michaela, and Desi, and Chanel, like, I just don't give a fuck about the other ones. You know, that's what, just lie.
I don't understand. Like, I wish I understood what his end goal was with how he approached having this conversation with Michaela, because she's not stupid.
I don't think he planned to ever have this conversation. Well, no, with
I don't either. But I'm
just to say, I don't think he was intending to have that one.
No, I don't think he was either. But I'm just saying, like, once she like brought it, like when he's giving his answer, what did he think was going to happen? Like, I don't know. I just what?
Based on everyone else in the game, you can't anticipate that you're going to have somebody like Michaela who's just going to sit down and be like, look, we have an issue. Let's squash it.
Yeah.
And the issue is you seem to be shady. However, shady seems to also be interpreted as you are associating with people who are not specifically survivor people. But I mean, we talked about it last week, though. Like, Underwood has sort of been like absorbed into the Corey, Josh, Fessel crew, almost like TYB 2.0.
Right.
And it's like 2.3 at this point. Yeah.
5.7.
Beta, Alpha, Centauri.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
But he's like, he's never even really been shown playing an active role in the Survivor Alliance from the jump.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, granted, there were only two of them, but like Dusty was with the vets. Lewis was with the green team. Underwood's been with that crew of guys who seem to be like the group that were in his room.
It's the blue team.
Yeah, it's the core part of the blue team and Josh from the red team. I understand where Michaela is coming from, but I don't understand. Like, there were so many other ways to kind of get around that conversation if you're Chris.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of shocked that he didn't try one of them.
Yeah, I just
but he could have just been completely caught off guard too, like,
and it's you know, more than likely he was completely caught off guard.
Yeah,
but with that being said, like, lie, you know, just fucking lie, you know. It's, you know, jeez. What I just olive branches to keep me safe down the road, and I'm still looking out for you guys too.
Yeah, like, I got you guys. I just
lie.
I just hang out with them, but I'm not. I got you guys. You know, like, whatever the fuck you got. Something better than being like, yeah, I'm keeping these people safe.
And then if you don't want it on camera, just stare at the camera the whole time you're saying it. Like, that's all you got to do.
I still remember on Great British Bake Off, when somebody's having like a bad day. When Sue and Mel used to be like the comedic hosts, they would come over to the person's table where they were like either having just a complete breakdown, or they were trying to salvage something, or they were just super upset, and they would just start swearing because then the footage wouldn't be able to be used.
Yeah.
So then they were able to have their moment, collect themselves, and then it would be recorded again. But they would just walk over and just swear incessantly so that they could not use the footage at all for the Great British Bake Off.
That's funny.
It's like using the George Carlin, Seven Dirty Words. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Really quick before we move on to the daily, there was one other thing that happened during this conversation with Michaela and Chris that I wanted to present as a question to you guys, as well as, you know, to everybody listening. If you guys want to send in your thoughts or comment below, please feel free. But Michaela gives a confessional where she says, you know, it would be foolish of me to think that Chris has my best interests at heart. And I know that this question was probably propositioned to her by production, so I don't necessarily know if the following truly applies to Michaela, but we do see this situation happen a lot in the challenge. So I want to know what you guys think. Like, when you're in an alliance, like, does that necessarily mean that you, like, that your game is somehow, like, tied to, like, keeping your other people safe? Like, I don't ever understand when people are like, he's playing for himself. Well, of course he is. Like, he didn't come here to help you win $1 million or whatever the money is, you know? Yeah. Like, and so I'm just like, I don't understand these situations. And I was just curious, like, how you guys view that for alliances.
I mean, like, I get both sides of it. I understand the concept of, you want to basically keep your alliance strong. So your alliance are the only people left. And then from that point, then you duke it out. Mm-hmm. But if there's going to be collateral damage along the way, you also want to make sure that that collateral damage is not you.
Right.
And Chris has done that in kind of aligning himself with Corey and with Fessel and with Josh, the same way that Michaela has done it by insulating herself with Desi and Chanel and Tori and seemingly Bananas. Like, everybody has their show alliance.
Right.
And then everybody has all these, like, individual alliances. Not to jump ahead, but when the names got put up, Desi's confessional said it all. She said, like, those are the two names that I would want to have up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she didn't have to do it.
Here's my thing with, first of all, alliances, like, just because you're in an alliance doesn't mean that's, like, this isn't a dictatorship. Just because I talk to you doesn't mean I can't talk to someone else.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to talk to everyone I can because I don't want anyone to have a bad taste about me.
Yeah.
In a game about social currency for $1 million.
Well, and on top of that, like, you're living in a house with these people. Like, you want to just go around and only talk to 2 out of 20 people in a house? Like, the fuck? No.
And I mean, honestly, like, if I don't think Chris has knowledge of it at this point, but like, just look at Michaela and be like, well, what about you and Bananas and Tori? What are you talking about?
Right.
Yeah. Like,
and that's the thing. Like, everybody plays shady and shiesty in games like this. Like, you have to, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't think she was necessarily saying, like, you're only allowed to play with us. But like, you also, if you go in as a group, as a show, you kind of anticipate that your show is going to stick together. Mm-hmm. And we see it a little bit with, like, with Fessel and Tyler, where there's nothing explicitly said of, like, we're in an alliance. And Fessel didn't really care up until this point about the Big Brother crew. But now all of a sudden he does.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just,
it's his backup, you know. Yeah. It's his little backup group that, you know, on top of the vets also keeps him safe. And, you know, I don't know if it just took him this long to realize that it was dwindling down.
That he needs other numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. That he's not the lowest guy on the totem pole for the vets. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. Nobody wants to go against him in anything.
No.
And look, this episode was kind of evidence of that. Like, as much shit as we give Fessy for his social gameplay, which,
it's getting better.
It's like, getting better by this episode. Like, I didn't hate him through this.
No.
You know what I mean? No. Like, it wasn't a bad move he wanted to pull at all.
No.
And I think that, you know, it's showing his growth as a player. But to be determined still. I don't want to give too much credit yet. It's still early. But anyways, getting into this daily, speed jump. I liked it. It's simple. It gets to the point.
I mean, I don't know that it was simple, but
the title, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all. But anyways, what they have to, there's, it's broken down into two stages. The first stage is you have one of those personal exercise trampolines with a wall in front of you, and you have to jump up and down on it to see a board with a bunch of numbers on it, add it up, and then the first three men and first three women to get it right move on to round two. And then in round two, they have to get on the back of a semi that has a trampoline on it and drive down this road and pull either a green, yellow, or red flag. Whoever gets the most points win. I'm impressed I got that on one take.
You did. And I also want to add in really quick, because it was like one of my favorite little details to the daily, is for stage one, the little personal trampolines were adjusted according to each person's height, so that like the shorter people and the taller people like were technically all level at the same height to be able to see over the wall. And I thought that that was a really good way to kind of, you know, make the playing ground even on this type of challenge.
That is CBS.
Exactly. It was very CBS. Yeah.
It's the same as those boxes in the like the do the puzzle or just keep motoring challenge.
Right.
That was totally the name of the challenge, by the way. Do the puzzles or just keep motoring. But they were all adjusted for weight.
Right, exactly. Well, and something that we obviously didn't know last week when we were recording, but I found out after we had recorded, I read an article about an interview that a producer from the show did. I can't remember exactly who he talked to, but I will find out and I will link it all the information down below. But they had said that for the spool for Tyler and Monty's elimination, for the spool, it was adjusted and set to each person, like to each competitor's different weight, so that it wasn't like too difficult for, you know, like a smaller person to pull, or like too easy for a bigger person. Like it was adjusted to their weight so that it would have the same tension or whatever as the other one, if that makes sense. I'm probably explaining that weird, but
no, it makes total sense. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wound it too tight for one of them, unless they went by weight, which they did. So right. There we go.
Right.
With this one, were you guys surprised that Seabass got first in the math? Because I thought it was going to be Wes. And Seabass got her
Wes
right
was
away.
Way off, by the way. Yeah. I just want to say, because the answer was 91. And Wes came in with like, it was either 48 or 43.
He just did speed math.
I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. But yeah, that was actually really impressive. I did not, would not have called that at all.
No.
But it was really impressive. Like he got it on his first try.
And then everybody else tried for a bit.
But here's my thing. So he runs up, right? And he's got his little board thing out to show to TJ.
Yeah.
And then Fessy runs up next to him and he looks at Sebastian's board and then shows his, sees that Sebastian gets it right, takes off, and then he gets another couple wrong before he ends up getting it right. And I'm like, you just saw the numbers on Sebastian's board. Why would you not just...
I mean,
not to encourage cheating, but I'm just saying like,
well, I feel like he looked at it and it just didn't register.
Maybe,
like, you know, sometimes you'll look at something and then you have to take like a double take to figure out what it was.
Yeah,
I feel like true. He ran up. He had his number. He looked at Sebastian's number and got his wrong and then just ran away and either didn't register or. Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. It just didn't register for him. I was going to say, or he like they edited it so that when he came up the second time with the right answer, there were a couple more in between. But that wouldn't make sense because he just would have gone twice and only had two instances.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what it went Sebastian and then.
So Sebastian finished first and then everybody struggles for a while. But then Chanel gets second. Fessy gets third, Tori gets fourth, Josh gets fifth, and Michelle gets sixth.
Do you see how quick Chanel like hugged that board to her chest?
Oh yeah, that was smart.
She
I like
was
that.
Not sharing.
TJ almost didn't even see the number. She basically like came up, showed it as she was turning it around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was, you know what? I actually like this because you get to see them struggle a little bit and kind of get freaked out. Like the first time Chanel got it wrong, she was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of thing. But it was, I liked it.
I liked it too. And you know what I actually found really interesting? And it wasn't as like blatantly obvious as the situation that happened. I believe it was last week. Definitely last week. Is that So Sebastian, like you said, absolutely kills this. He gets it right on the first try, but it takes Tori a bunch more tries. So like, it's clear he did not give her the answer to this or anything like that. And so I found that interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're actually playing the game. And you can tell, obviously, we didn't talk about it in the intro because it's, you know, it's whatever. There's nothing really to discuss. But you can tell that there is, you know, a connection between them.
There's
but
chemistry.
They're not allowing that to interfere with how they're playing this game. And I really like that.
I do, too. It's I enjoy it. It's interesting to see this perspective from Tori, that she's taking this much more seriously. And she, like you said, she ends up getting past the first stage on this into the second stage. And she's doing really well, where it seems like at certain times when she gets involved, like with Emmanuel, her game tends to slide to the goes off to the side. Well, I don't know.
And even like props for Sebastian, too, as a rookie who's, you know, involved with a champ, you know, a veteran champion who's, you know, a very powerful woman, to quote Sebastian, you know, is like and for him to not like, you know, succumb to that as well. Like, so props to him for it. I'm here for how they played the game together.
Yeah. I mean, I think Sebastian makes a typical rookie move after the daily, but we'll get into that.
Well, I mean, getting involved in a relationship period is a fucking rookie move. Like, it's just, it's stupid, but
but they've already been there for a month. Is in that the only thing that I really gleaned from that, like that conversation, was that they'd been there for 30 days.
Yeah. And, you know, they said, well, we have like another
couple weeks
or something,
which
like that,
really means that they probably have like 3 weeks left. It's my assumption, not in real lifetime that we live in, but
filming time.
It goes Sebastian, Josh, and then Fessy for the men, and then it goes,
and then it's Chanel, Tori, Michelle.
Yeah, which I'm not mad about it. I like everybody that's in there. Yeah. I mean, to a degree. Yep.
I wasn't upset. I mean, I was pulling for Desi to make it through, but I'm not upset about it.
I want to see Corey win a daily.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was pulling for Michaela.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But as soon as she got the confessional about individual immunity, I was like, well, Kayla's not winning.
Yeah. When she threw that out there, I was like, good analogy for the people.
Right.
Not for us, because we don't need it. But
same with that timestamp. 9:16 when foreshadowing dictated that Cassidy was the female vote.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So frustrating.
Like, all of the foreshadowing to indicate that it was going to be a Survivor, Cassidy, Underwood, and Seabass.
Yeah.
Before 9:30 when 1:38 is already taken by the intro or the previously on.
I feel like, once again, we say this every fucking season, that they are just shooting themselves in the foot
every time.
You name the title something original, not something you did 2 years ago for one of your flagship seasons. Like, you fucking can't even keep the person in an edit that's in the elimination actually up on a fucking swing, Tiffany. But during the elimination, you show her on the fucking stage with everybody else clapping and cheering. And it's like, guys, what are you doing? Like,
so stupid.
If they give us a repeat of the USA One final and how that went down, I'm going to be so utterly disappointed.
Yeah.
And no, I don't want to be this guy like that's like, pessimist. But I'm just saying, the signs are there.
They have to kill this final. Like, it has it has to be flawless. Like, they have to.
But
kill
I think
this
they know that.
Yeah, I think they do, too. And hopefully they pull it out.
So when they move on to the second round, they hop on the back of the truck. And I was like, are they fucking tied down? And then I noticed they had like the hip things on that.
Yeah,
tied
but
down.
Still, dude, it, this is so
it was sketch.
That was sketch. That was super, super sketch. And I don't mean to be like the fucking mom and whatnot, but like, that was super fucking sketch. Like, people could have got really fucking hurt on.
Well, I mean, fuck. I was surprised Sebastian didn't get hurt.
He almost fell completely off the back of the freaking trampoline onto the damn back of the truck.
Like, trampolines were dangerous as fuck as like kids out there. Like, I remember I went over to a friend's and they didn't tell me that the trampoline fucking that there was a rock underneath. I hit that shit on my ass. I thought I fucking paralyzed myself. Not like the booty hole, but the tailbone. It was rough. Anyways, Sebastian goes first, and he actually does really well for going first in this situation, because in this type of daily, it really does pay to go second or third and see how it plays out.
Or to have a career as slam ball player.
There you go.
It doesn't hurt to be 6'4", 6'5", and just have to bunny hop. He's like, oh, you don't even have to really jump. It's like, no shit, Bessie.
You don't really have to jump.
Fuck. You have to make sure you don't jump too high so you don't get clotheslined.
Right.
So, and then he gets 9 points, which I was actually, like I said, really, really impressed with.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Tori goes next, and she jumps for one, and the way she lands.
The first one, wasn't it?
It was the second one.
Second one, okay. And the way she lands, where it's like her shoulder area is on the like hard platform, but her whole lower back's in the trampoline. You just hear her go, and you know it knocked the wind out of her.
Yeah. Now, I will say, like, I realized it probably fucking hurt, and I realized that that super sucked. But for how little impact it actually had in the competition or any part of it, it almost, other than the fact that she fell and it was a moment that they could use to cut to commercial and come back and be like, don't worry, she's fine. It wasn't really like sort of a non-issue.
It just it didn't play a role. She is inevitably the better on this. I mean, I just jump ahead. I thought Chanel was going to do a lot better.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Chanel.
She punched the trampoline.
Yeah.
I don't blame her. I would have done the same thing.
I do just want to add in here really quick, because I actually, like, during my rewatch this morning, I actually messaged Tori and was like,
I was going to ask.
Holy smokes. You know, like,
holy smokes. Okay? Are you there, Batman?
Are you 12?
Yeah. Slam. Pow.
Fuck you guys.
Holy pants, Robin.
Jumping Jiminy.
Sorry, guys.
Are you okay?
I hate you guys sometimes. No, I'm just kidding.
Kapow!
Right in the kisser.
Anyway, I was just like, I said other stuff. Anyway, but I asked her, you know, how her back was or whatever. And, you know, she said that her back's fine, but she did like have like whiplash for 2 weeks. And she was like pretty fucked up for a couple weeks. But I mean, yeah, like it didn't seem to like super affect her ability to perform in this, obviously. Like,
well, yeah,
she got right back up, and then she, you know, she kept getting flags, and she ended up getting 6 flags in total. I mean, it's not a crazy amount, but.
Well, it's not. But if you take the other two girls that went and combine their score, they only got 3.
Yeah, like crazy.
Michelle got 2, Chanel got 1, and Chanel just had a bad showing. I don't think it's like a preview of her abilities. I think she's a lot better than this daily shows.
Yeah,
I think that if they did like 2 rounds, she would have killed the second round.
But I do think this was kind of indicative of like how Michelle does on these kind of weird types of dailies this, where it's like you're on a trampoline going down a fucking highway, like, but like, give Michelle like a puzzle and some endurance, I think she's fine,
right?
Kind of
right.
But when you put her into a real life math problem, it doesn't work that well. Like, no, it's one of those story problems from math class, like in high school.
Yeah,
like you're traveling down the road at X amount kilometers or miles, depending on who you are, and you're jumping on a trampoline. What is your trajectory in order to catch a flag?
Yes, with wind drag and aerodynamics built in. I'm getting real serious about this.
How many pancakes does it take to get to the moon?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
How many apples did Susan buy when there was aliens on a Tuesday? Like, what? What?
Huh?
4 jumps.
So, yeah, Tori wins for the girls. Sebastian gets 9, and then what, Josh got 5?
Yeah, Josh didn't do very well because... 5,
yeah,
because
he pulled the
whole rope. Yeah, and that was the red one he grabbed 4. Mm. So he would have gotten like 7, which...
He still wouldn't have won.
Still wouldn't have won, but respectable.
Yeah.
Fessy fucking destroyed everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slam ball champion.
I did notice, though, that like everybody else like seemed to only be like using one hand. But Fessy was going up and he was like using two, one to grab red, one to grab the yellow or whatever. Yeah. Like he was using both his hands.
In case he couldn't. It was like redundancy to make sure he got at least.
But still, like that's fucking, I'm going to give it up to him for it because yeah. that's oh, fucking smart. How come nobody else did that?
Super impressive. I don't want to take anything away. And that's why I was saying it was just redundancy because he yeah. was making sure in case there was a fuck up, he was still good.
Yeah.
It was just well thought out.
Yeah.
He got the benefit of going last and it showed off. And that's he even true. Talked about it in his confessional. But props to him. Like he showed out on this and
yeah.
good for him. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I agree.
So, yeah, Fessy and Tori are going to be making the decision on who's going into the elimination, depending on what happens at the Hoppa, TJ, the fucking Hoppa.
Get to the Hoppa.
While you're getting to the Hoppa, we're going to tell you about Spotify for Podcasters.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
All right. Well, that was really authoritative.
Authoritative.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. So before we get out of the daily, we'd be amiss if, Tony, you didn't tell us about that part with Michelle that we were just kind of going back and forth on before we came back.
I don't know, like, what happened if she just remembered that she was in the second heat or what, but her inner monologue became an outer monologue and she was almost narrating the entire her entire run of just, why am I even here? Why did I do this? And then it had a confessional just like, it's not like I train for this. I don't go find trampolines and jump up to catch flags.
Yeah.
At one point she called herself a fucking idiot. And then at another point she got super excited because she got one. And then I think she got one at the very end as well. And everyone was just so stoked for her because you could tell that she was just not having fun. And then her excitement at getting second place was possibly even more excitement than Tori had coming in first place.
Right.
Tori had a fucking broken back. She yeah. was like, yeah, first. Yay. Fuck. Oh. You can tell too, because once they get into deliberations and it's her and Fessy and she gets up from the table, she's like, oh,
yeah.
Like that. Yep. I was like, oh, I know that pain. That's not fun.
Yeah.
But when we get back from the daily, Bananas, you know, he's sitting there and he's sure he's not going to be the main vote, obviously, with Tori and Fessy being the winners, but then it like cuts to Fessy and he's like,
he's talking to Corey and Chris.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, if it wasn't for Tori, I'd be like Bananas and Wes, because they pretend to like be your friends and be like betas, mm-hmm. which I fucking hate that he used that term. But yeah. but then they like, we let him get to a final and they win. And it's like, well,
I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not. Like, he's accurate about the whole thing. It's yeah. just like, then push Tori on this.
Yeah.
It's also very easy to say when you know that Tori's not going to let you do it. Like, yeah. he's telling the person that he's 100% putting in.
Yeah, exactly.
He would love to put those other people in if it wasn't for that Tori girl. She's the one who's really strong-arming me on this when I have 50% of the decision.
Yeah.
And that's my thing, is I almost feel like this conversation between Fessy and Chris and Corey is kind of Fessy letting Chris know ahead yeah. of time that he's going to have to say his name, because he's like, look, I can't vote for these people. I'm not going to vote for, you know, Tyler.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. And Tori's not going to let me go for the vets, and she's not going to let me vote for Seabass. So, you know, I think this conversation was just him kind of like letting Chris know ahead of time yeah. that there's a good chance that your name is going to be said by us.
Look, Chris, she's not going to let me vote for any of the other people. And I don't want to vote for the other people that I can vote for that aren't you. So I'm going to have to say your name. I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I want to say it more than I want to say the other names that I can say that I don't really want to. I don't blame him.
But it was an odd way for him to go about it, too, yeah. because he didn't actually yeah. come out and say that to Chris. Right. Like, well,
yeah.
And I feel like the situation would have been a little bit, maybe a little bit different if he had just been straight up and honest with Chris. Like, look, I'm going to do my best, but da 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 da, you know, means that I may potentially have to say your name and you may end up being the one in there. And I just want you to know that, you know, I just wanted to be upfront with you and tell you ahead of time. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know. And maybe that's a mistake too. I don't know. But I feel like that would have been a better way to approach this conversation with Chris and just be transparent if that's what you're going to, if that's what you're going to do.
Well, and here's the thing is like, let's not act like Fessy couldn't barter, you know, and be like, look, how about I'll give you Alyssa S, but you let me pick whichever male I want. You know, she would have been like, okay, that's less blood on my hands. And then I can just,
say you did it.
Yeah, it was his choice.
It was his choice. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and
but then at that point, who do you think he puts in? Do you think he puts bananas?
No, he puts in Underwood.
He puts in Sebastian.
You think he puts in Sebastian?
Then he wouldn't be able to. If he went for Seabass, then she'd back like she would retract that deal.
I think so too.
And then he still probably goes Underwood. He could say, I mean, just how wild would it be if he was like Josh?
Yeah, I mean, that would be crazy or like Corey, you know, but I don't know. I'm trying to envision a situation where he does make that deal with Tori, but he gets that deal with her or whatever. And the male he says is bananas. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know if he would actually do that.
And knowing this elimination, like bananas, I don't see bananas losing this one or Wes losing this one.
No. And like, the thing is, too, though, right? Like, yeah, it's good that he won a daily. This is possibly the worst time for Fessel to win a daily because of who's left in the game.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
there is no one that he can say that he does not have some sort of a deal with, because even with Underwood, like he said, Chris said, Fessy and him had a conversation of I'm not going to vote for you and you're not going to vote for me.
Yeah,
I will say I'm really fucking glad that Underwood didn't win a daily before Fessel did, because Chris would have stuck with that. He wouldn't have put Fessel in. And then this would have happened. And then Fessy would have been like, I sneezed and it sounded like Underwood and then I couldn't backtrack. So then your name's on the ball.
Mm. Well, and that's the thing is like it would be so smart of some of these people that are coming in from Survivor to go back and watch the last five seasons. At least the last five seasons.
Well, I think Underwood's a fan.
I know Sebastian is. Yeah.
I just wouldn't want to pair with Fessy. Like he's not going to be a good alliance member. He's going to turn on you unless he's known you for years. That's and then true. Even then, all you have to see is what he did to Nelson. That's all you have to see. I mean, like.
Yeah, that's look, true.
I hate to hold one thing over someone, but we do it with everybody else. So why not? Yes. You know what I mean?
Look, but, I want to grow.
Why is Fessy any different?
Yeah. It's just like, I'm giving him credit. This is a great episode for him. Like, I have nothing bad to take away from him.
Yeah.
I think the picks worked in his favor, which he won, two Survivor players. And it gave Tori kind of an out, except with Cassidy. She fucking roommates with.
And look, here's my thing is, first of all, props to Fessy because he was able to go in and negotiate what he actually wanted, which his main goal was to keep Big Brother out. And so he pretty much made a deal with her and told her, like, look, I will let you take all the vets and Sebastian off the table from voting, but I'm taking the Big Brother players off. So we have to send in two Survivor people. We have to take a shot at Survivor. And so he made that deal with her. So major props to him for that, you know, but I think that the fact that Tori ended up having to vote for Cassidy, who was her roommate, Fessy ended up having to vote for Chris, who was his roommate. You know what I mean? Like it felt like a really good nomination, as much as it kind of came out the way that Fessy wanted. Like, it kind of just, I don't know, it felt like it just kind of canceled each other out. Like, they both had to backstab their roommates. You know what I mean? And it, that sucks. But we are also like over halfway through the season. Like,
they're probably only two rooms per gender, if they're even separating by gender.
Like, it just, it gets to this point, you know what I mean? And like, I understand like being friends and being roommates and stuff, but having an alliance with somebody is something completely different.
Now, I will say I did like when Vessel was like, hey man, I'm sorry, I didn't want to do it. And Chris was like, if you didn't want to do it, you could have just not done it. And then it was like, I don't think that Vessel was really like anticipating that response, because he had no counter argument to it. He was like, well, I mean, Big Brother is a show that's on CBS, and I was also on it when Tyler was on it, so I mean, I can't vote for Tyler, he's got curly hair.
Well, and here's my thing with that too, is that again, we're just blurting out like our alliances and who we're working with and who we're keeping safe. Like, we just talking about that out in the open right now. Like, fuck it. You know, man. And it's just like, it's so weird to me to see that, because like in like a normal challenge season, like you don't, you like, you see them whispers, even on Survivor and Big Brother. Yeah. It's all about. So like, I just, I don't know where all this like explosiveness as far as just being so vocal about who you're working with. Like, I have no idea where this is coming from. Like, this is just crazy.
This is the episode of inner monologues being outer thoughts.
Oh my God. It's just misdirection everywhere too. I mean, look, it boils down to that, you know, they end up voting for Cassidy and Chris.
Yeah.
You know, which puts, like we said, Tori and Fessy in a bad spot because they're roommates with both of them. You know what I mean? But right after this is like kind of what leads into like how this is all going to go down. Because I think the house had a very different idea of who they were going to vote for to go against Chris or to, because I don't think Cassidy was the target to get out this week. It was going to be Chris regardless. No.
Yeah.
Now, she was shocked, though, that she was nominated again. And like, I do like Cassidy. I know, Karina, you're a bit more lukewarm on Cassidy than I am, but I loved Michelle's confessional of just like, you're not working with Tori or Bananas or Fessy. You have to assume that if they're the ones who win, that your name is going to be said. I think it's a mix of like, it's not even so much that it's those people. It's just a matter of like, she is the name that people keep throwing in when, based on like the dynamics of the house, you would think that it would be like Alyssa S, because she's on Big Brother. They're now the smallest group left in the house. They can't do anything to mount a defense against you.
Right.
So why not keep throwing her in if you're going to use the age old throw the same person in until they go home? But instead, it's Cassidy, and she like is just constantly being either the nomination or the one with a lot of votes.
I just think it's funny because, you know, she was really pissed that it wasn't even Wes that put her in. So,
yeah, I don't know. Like, look, I understand Cassidy being a little bit upset, you know, that Tori ended up saying her name, or that she ended up, you know, being the vote out of the nominations there. I understand her being upset, but at the same time, like you were saying, like there's levels and layers to this thing, especially when you're working with someone as seasoned as Tori is, who has, you know, so many different alliances throughout the house. And, you know, and Cassidy obviously doesn't even know about all of them. Like, I don't know for sure, but from what we've seen, like that, Desi, Chanel, Michaela, Tori, Bananas thing is something that nobody else really knows about yet. So, you know, she's got that, and then she's got all the vets, and you know what I mean? So it's like, yes, maybe she told you she wasn't going to say your name, but again, we're over halfway through the season and there's levels and layers to this. And unfortunately, there's a fuck ton of people up above you. You know, it kind of goes back to that being at the bottom of the list. And I kind of feel like that's where Cassidy is for Tori, unfortunately. And, you know, that sucks for Cassidy. But again, you're playing a fucking game.
Well, I mean, look, like even Michelle ranks higher than Cassidy does on the pecking order.
That kind of shocked me, honestly. I didn't know her and Tori were so close.
That was the first time we've heard of it. Like, It's like, well, Michelle and I have been on seasons together and we've like, we have history. I'm like, really?
Huh? I'm not surprised, though.
No, like, it makes sense. Everybody hangs out together. But yeah. Like, it's just the first that we've heard of it. So you would, but you would think that if Tori and Michelle had history, that Michelle would have been part of that, like, Chanel, Desi, Michaela, whatever group. But then she's not winning dailies. And that was the whole, like, point of that alliance was we're the ones who are most likely to win things.
Well, and I honestly, I wonder, obviously, we don't see, obviously, we don't see everything with the edit. But I wonder how vocal like Chanel and Desi and Michaela have been about their like lack of trust with Michelle since that flip vote.
Yeah, she might have kept it on the DL.
Like, you know, I don't know how vocal they are with that. Yeah. So if Tori knows, you know what I mean? Like Michelle might not have even just been brought up in that situation, in that conversation for that alliance.
Well, I just feel like Tori is always going to look at it as a seniority thing. Like how long, how many seasons have you done? How many seasons have we done together compared to a rookie? Mm-hmm. No matter almost what rookie it is, unless it's Seabass in this situation, because or Manuel and Spies Lies.
Yeah.
A situation like that. But it's kind of been the playbook for the last couple seasons. Yeah. And it's not surprising to me at all. It would be more surprising if she's like, oh, I can't say Cassie's name over. I have to say Michelle. I'd be surprised.
Yeah,
I'd be more surprised in that direction. Honestly,
I guess that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Going in that like these are the only two people that really, based on the dynamics in the house, they're the only two that could have come out of that deliberation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just lack of options at this point.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like we're over halfway through. Like it gets to this point where you have to start saying names, like people's names. That maybe at the beginning of the game of the season, you might have said, I'm not going to say your name, blah, blah, blah. But then like it gets to a point where you have to start saying those people's names.
Well, it's just like what happened last season in World Champions when or Championship when Tony was pissed at Kellyanne and Tristan got put in. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, yeah, that's right. There was nobody else.
Literally the only option.
So it's like, fuck. OK. But you know what came up next and you know who really loved it? This guy,
in the club.
Soon as they started going through that bell tower.
Yeah, that's right. Think about me. But with that being said,
there was only like one scene from it. No,
but it was such a pivotal scene.
It was
that happened at the bar. And you could tell that Seabass had a couple drinks. Mm. He was feeling himself a little bit too much.
He was.
And instead of just talking to one person about it, he decided to talk to quite a few people about it. And it went downhill very bad, very, very bad for him.
Yeah.
But he goes to Tori and he goes, I think we should put Corey in. He's a big guy. I think he can beat me and stuff. And Tori's like, dude, shut the fuck up. She doesn't actually say this
big
to him.
Yikes.
Yeah, but big yikes.
Yeah, big yikes.
But she was smart enough to say, like, keep it quiet. He just didn't listen because right after that, it shows him talking to Chanel,
Michaela,
and then
Cassidy.
Like, and and it's like, oh, that's going through the house like wildfire. Like you should have learned from Survivor on that one, buddy, because it's the same kind of thing. I mean, I get what he's saying. I'm not mad about it. Like, it's a smart move for him.
No, it tracks like.
Yeah, for sure. But
just wrong execution of plan.
Yeah. And I mean, like, if you're going to try to get out Corey, probably one of your best bets is to pit him against Underwood.
Fessy, if you get the opportunity, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not a bad plan. It was just a poorly executed, like the way he went about trying to set this plan up, the people he approached, like it was just a very bad execution. Great, great idea. Bad execution.
Michaela had the right idea, too. She's like, dude's not ever said any of our names.
Yeah, like
we're not going. That would be burning a bridge. And I liked as soon as she said it. Cassidy's like, we're going to have to burn some bridges.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, but like, I get that. But we still got a lot of game left to be played. And you don't want to take a shot at Corey Wharton and miss.
Well, and not only that, but
it's bad if you do that.
But again, I think this moment with Michaela kind of shutting Cassidy down on that goes back to the fact that like, Cassidy might be Survivor and part of Survivor Strong or whatever, but Michaela, you know, she's more willing to potentially send Cassidy in than she is to.
She's more likely to take a shot, like to be willing to sacrifice Cassidy
than put her own like game on the line by voting in somebody like Corey, who might beat Underwood and come back and be upset with her, you know? And that, like, it goes back to, I don't think that they value, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't think they value Michelle and Cassidy the way that like they do with like Desi, Michaela and Chanel. Like those three are super, super strong together. And I don't think that they value Cassidy and Michelle the same way that they do each other.
So I think that if they might be looking at from strictly a competitive side, because they are all friends, which is Michaela, Cassidy, mm-hmm. Chanel, is that they want to run a final together.
Yeah.
And whatever it takes to get there, they're going to get there. And they also know that they can pitch to the men. You want to take the strongest women to the final, which
right.
is automatically yep. those three and then Tori.
Right.
And say, you know, because if we have to run this final as a partner, you're going to want the strongest woman. And here I am. Mm-hmm. And so it just makes it where their value in the game, as far as Cassidy, Michelle, it just plummets, unfortunately.
Right.
And it's going to be the same thing with the guys. At some point, the girls are going to start saying, nope, we don't want him. We don't like.
Yeah.
Regardless if it's Josh, Sebastian, Tyler.
Yeah.
I mean, like when you have Fessy, Corey, Wes, Bananas
Wes, yeah.
you know, like some of the Chris, like these guys that are built and have the strength, the ability to do puzzles, the endurance,
all that. Yeah.
Like that's what they're going to be looking for. I think it's just, you know, we're just taking the long road to get there. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
The other thing too, is this alliance of Chanel, Desi, Michaela, Bananas, and Tori, they've sort of inadvertently like pigeonholed themselves in the sense that they can't vote for the friends of the people that they're in an alliance with. Whereas normally the point of an alliance is to keep the numbers that are in the alliance safe.
Yeah.
But Tori doesn't want to say a name of the three girls or like their numbers. And the three girls don't want to say Corey's name because Corey's with Tori in them. So nobody wants to fire the first shot, even if it's not a shot at the person. It's just kind of like a general shot and we'll see what happens.
Right. Yeah.
And so now like they're really stuck in that they're almost each taking shots at their own people to avoid saying the other person's name. So they're still accomplishing the exact same thing. It's just that like instead of Tori taking shots at Survivor, the Survivor people are. And instead of the Survivor people taking shots at like the vets or anything like that, eventually it's going to come to a point where Tori and like the quote unquote legends may start picking off those folks that are in the middle.
Yeah. And look, I want to get into this part because this is the Survivor part
yeah.
that you're bringing up earlier, which is yeah. Chris very, very much overplaying his hand by telling everybody in the house something different. And like that works in certain situations when you're trying to figure out who's working with you and who's not. So, you know, yeah. who's flushing information out.
Yeah.
But not when you're fighting for your life because you just got voted in.
Yeah.
yeah. You know what I mean? Like this was a horrible situation. And because of this situation, it blows up other people's games right away.
Big time.
Yeah.
Like it blows up Michelle's game. It blows up Sebastian's game because that discussion at the bar happens.
Oh, God.
Maybe that other discussion doesn't. I still think it does.
Yeah.
But it might not. You can't be 100%. So it changes the game quite a bit. And like, why go to Cassie and talk to her and then go to Michelle and then
Michaela and tell Michaela something like,
yeah, and you know,
all these people talk.
It just doesn't make sense.
And then it seems like he told Corey to vote for one of the Survivor girls, which would either be Chanel or Michaela. But then the one thing that got me that was really weird, and even on two watches, I couldn't quite figure out when they had the footage of Cassidy and Underwood talking. And then he said, she said, who do you want? And then it cuts to him and he's like, Michelle. And then it gave a reason. But then it was actually option one is like Alyssa. And then option two is Michelle for like these other reasons. But it, I don't know, like, it seemed like they pulled the part that was like, I want Michelle out.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing, though. But then he finds, like, we hear that he tells Corey to vote Michaela or Chanel. Yeah. And it's like, that makes no fucking sense. Like, why?
Yeah. Like, why is he telling everybody to do something different? That, well, and here's the thing that, like, so I don't know, because obviously I haven't watched Chris's season of Survivor, but Sebastian says that Chris played just like this on Survivor.
Yeah, it was really weird because, like, Seabass wasn't on that season.
Well, I just assumed he watched it as like a fan or something.
But like, I don't remember Underwood playing like that. Like, in all honesty,
okay,
this is no disrespect to Chris Underwood, because I actually like Chris, and you can't hate the, I've said it a million times, but you can't blame the player for the format.
No.
He did what he had to do and he won. But he was voted out third. So that's 9 days. He then spent the rest of his time on the edge of extinction until almost the end of the game when he came back into the game. And at that point, he played his ass off to make it to the end and to win. And he went up against the person that it was his biggest competition. He gave up the chance to just sit at final tribal council and beat Devins at Fire,
right,
which Devins was his biggest competition in the game. He would have won. And I haven't seen it in a while, but I don't remember any aspect of Underwood's game being like scrambly, shady, whatever. And if it was, it was simply because he was in this exact situation where his back was up against it. He had to make a case for himself in game after being out of the game for the majority of the game. So I don't really understand Sebastian saying that that's how he played Survivor.
Well, I just don't understand him taking Chris taking this route of saying everybody else is named to somebody else instead of just going to like all the vets in the house, all the vet guys and the girls, and saying, look, what do you guys want to be done? Are you guys trying to get it a Survivor versus Survivor someone?
Yeah.
Pick which Survivor guy you want in there and I'll take him out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's Sebastian. Yeah. You know, or pick, you know, you want Big Brother? Give me Tyler then.
Yeah.
You know, you want me to do your dirty work and get someone else that's in this room right now? Come talk to me later.
Well, I mean,
and you know what I mean?
And that's the thing is that, you know, Chris does eventually go and sit down and talk to Bananas, Wes, and Josh in the room. But that was after he'd already just created this absolute just train wreck disaster through the house. And at this point, as Josh so eloquently put it, everybody's comparing notes. And they're seeing how much you're lying. And so, like, you're kind of screwed right now, dude. Like, there's literally almost nothing you can do because now everybody wants a guy in who they think has a good chance to beat you.
Yeah.
He loses all his social equity he's built in the house.
Yeah.
And I mean, and because he does this, like we said earlier, it comes out that Sebastian wants to put Corey in, and Tyler ends up telling Corey this.
Yeah.
And of course, Corey's not going to fucking just be quiet about it. He's going to hold like a round table with Fessy and have a full on discussion about this. And Sebastian does what we say, which is lie. It's just Corey's a vet and is able to call him on is able to know he's lying.
Yeah, he doesn't buy that shit. Well, because,
because him and Underwood are like super close and working together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's the thing is like, the one or two people that Chris does not want to go against, and he stated, is Sebastian and or not Sebastian, but Corey and fucking Fessy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Like he'll go against anyone else. And it's just like, all right, Yeah, I thought it was kind of like a foregone conclusion what was going to happen as soon as this Corey shit happened. I was like, okay, so this is where we're going tonight. All right. Yeah. Because there was too many girls thrown out there for anything to really happen. It was going to go all guy.
But you got two shady ass people doing some shady ass shit. That's the way it's going to go.
And I didn't mind.
I also liked when they had that little like meeting with the vets. And Michelle walks in and she was like, I was actually looking to talk to you. And she's like, I heard that you've been saying my name.
Yes.
And then Wes was like, he's like, no, I wasn't saying your name. Wes said, no, he just said that he wanted a girl to go in, which would make you one of the options. And then Michelle's confessional of just like very point blank. Well, I don't love that for me.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So good. Great. I mean, like her and.
Dude, Michaela on the confessionals this episode was just.
Michaela's no words confessional.
Mm-hmm, where she was like.
Of just her look to the camera. I was like, that is peak Michaela. And why I was so adamant that she was like made for the challenge. When she was first cast her first season. And then you guys were like, sorry, you said something about Michaela being made for the challenge. What was it that you said? And I was like, just wait. She didn't get a chance. She'll be back.
She's doing good.
She's doing great.
Look,
she's doing awesome.
Like her and Desi and even Chanel are like my top picks. Like bring them to the flagship. Yes. I want to see them in the house with like, you know, what looks like the new school with like Olivia. Raven, Nerys,
you know, Horacio,
Mariah. Let's see them get in there and see what they can do against them. I think it might be a little bit unfair with some of them, but we'll see. Anyways, from this, we go into, you know, the elimination. And the way the votes end up breaking down is Sebastian gets 6, Tyler gets 5, which I was surprised about. Alyssa got 1 still, and Bananas got 1. Now, who fucking
voted for Bananas?
Was it Wes?
How funny would that be if it was Wes?
That'd be fucking hilarious.
Oh, my God. It'd be so good. Or if it was... No, never mind. She couldn't vote. I was going to say Tori. That would have been great. But no, it was probably either Wes or... I could see Sebastian do it.
No, because Sebastian voted Tyler.
Yeah, he would have voted Tyler.
Like, Seabass voted for Tyler, and like... Nobody sticks out as being.
Do you think Bananas voted
banana vote?
Bananas vote for himself.
Burned on a vote on himself, maybe.
No, he knows what burn votes do. There's a whole thing about it.
Yeah, against Chris, he's not going to do it. That's too big of a risk. And
it's too big of a risk just having one ball in there. But yeah,
I don't know, man. Like,
I don't know.
Maybe it was
TJ.
Michaela. I don't know. I don't remember who all they showed, but
well,
that's the thing is like, there's nobody that like overtly would have just randomly taken a shot at Bananas without, because there was no anything. We didn't even see, like, it would be different if you saw the ball being taken from the little slot, but there was nothing, like there was no indication. And then randomly when everything came out, it was like, and 1 for Bananas. Could be Tyler, I guess.
It could have been.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyways, TJ goes to the hopper. Mm-hmm. He pulls the ball and they actually like, all right, so he walks over and he announces that it's going to be Sebastian.
Yep.
Sebastian comes down and then they do like the cutscene of his hand grabbing the ball and you can see Sebastian perfectly on the side.
Which it didn't say the last time.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, OK, thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thanks so much for that.
Where I'm surprised you didn't put a stop clock with like a little timer up before it, too, just to really drive it in like that. We're covering this shit.
We are now more skeptical of the fact that it was Sebastian than if you would have just done what you've done every time.
Yeah.
I was going to say, look, when we said that it would be cool if you would like show, you know, the ball with the name, like instead of just a fucking blank ball, if you would show the name on the ball, like that would be cool. That this is not what we meant. This is not what we meant. Okay. That's not it.
Yeah. No, not at all. So anyways, the elimination that Chris and Sebastian will be doing is called Tick. Tick
boom.
We fucking practiced that for like 2 hours earlier.
No idea.
What they're going to have to do is they have to race down this platform that's like, I don't know, 6 feet in the air. And then they have to grab some barrels that have a pole on them with a little table, and they're at different heights, and they have to line it up so they can throw these balls, not ping pong. Yeah, it's basically it's sponsored by Dude Perfect.
For real.
Yeah. And they have to hit it off the three table platforms and make it into a bucket. And once they do that, then they have to incorporate fireball explosion. Then they have to take two more barrels that have tables at an angle. And this really works for the people that are watching this on YouTube instead of just listening to us.
Yeah.
They're angled like, and he has to bounce them off that into another bucket or barrel. And then first one to do that wins. I don't know. Like it's cool to watch on TikTok and Instagram, but I don't know how I feel about it being on the challenge. What did you guys think?
I liked it. I liked it because it's a total equalizer.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Like, you can go into 12 pole wrestles, fine, like, we've seen them. But you throw in something like this, or something like last week. Now, granted, last week was like, holy shit, it went on forever. But with this one, you don't know who's going to win. Because Chris has a super analytical mind and a process, and he knows what he's going to do. And as Tori said, Seabass looks like he just came from a beer pong competition at college. So
fair.
Either one of them could have conceivably done this.
No, and I was gonna say, like, I really enjoyed how like methodical Chris was with this. Like, he was going up and down those stairs, you know, angling and testing and, you know, trying to just get it right so he didn't have to stand there and freaking waste a bunch of balls. But Sebastian was just guessing. Like, he just threw that shit up and was just like, all right, well, I'm just going to make it work from here somehow, you know, and was relying more on like how hard he could throw the ball to make it bounce far enough to get down there. Whereas like Chris, nice
professional.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and so like Chris was, like I said, was being way more methodical with how he was setting these up, testing them. Like, you kept seeing Sebastian like throwing that ball like super hard down at the thing. And Chris is just nice and easy, just, you know. So I liked seeing the varying. But the thing was they both got so close so many times that it's like both ways were really working in the end. I mean, I know Chris was a little bit quicker for the first stage, getting those first three done. But at the same time, like, it's not like Sebastian was super far behind him. And then he almost beat him. Like, he was literally inches from taking Chris out of this game.
Well, and here's the thing is that I expected Chris to win the beginning round first, and he did, but Seabass was like, he literally made it, and Chris was getting down the platform and Seabass made it. And it was like, oh shit, this is going to be a match.
Yeah.
And then I think Seabass's downfall was that he went down and adjusted it on that second one. I think he was set up right. He just wasn't getting enough force on it.
Well, and even just the first sideways one that he just kind of turned a little bit, like, I think that might have helped him. But then he just started making this big move with one of the, you know, the third of the first.
Yeah.
The flat ones.
Like, he started moving the flat
ones. Oh, part C.
Like, I was like, what are you doing? And even like everybody up there. And I think like Corey yelled at him and was like, what are you doing? Not that one. Like,
I mean,
go to Michaela.
It's like, dude, calm down. You got this.
This is another prime example of what Banana said about Turbo. The whole crowd was helping Seabass.
Yes.
Josh was cheering for Underwood. Everybody else was telling Seabass what to do.
Yeah.
Yes, that's very true.
And I think what Banana said in the beginning, where he's like, everybody thinks I'm just good at random shit, but they still throw stuff in here that surprises me. And it's like, that's true. Like, we've never seen this. And I can't be mad about it because it's kind of like the roots of the challenge. You know what I mean? Like, this brings it back. So
it was a fun elimination. I enjoyed it.
I don't hate it. It's not my favorite elimination ever, but would I watch again? Yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and something I just thought of while we were talking about it is this is a challenge that you could see on Survivor, on Big Brother, or obviously on The Challenge. So it's something that conceivably everybody would have had some sort of experience with in some capacity. Or it could be seen on their show. If you're thinking like the Survivor people are more capable of like Survivor type challenges or Big Brother or whatever. It really is like an across the board equalizer.
I agree. It was a good one for no yeah. matter who ended up in there.
Well, and so inevitably Chris ends up sinking the third shot or the second shot, whatever it is, but the winning shot, winning. He wins this.
Everybody honestly, claps.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Nobody's happy. I'm happy he's coming back because I think I he's a good competitor.
I want to see, because this is what's going to be really interesting is, like we said, nobody really wanted him to come yeah. back. Everybody wanted him to lose. He won. So how is he going to recover his game from yeah. this moving forward? That's what I want to know, because at this point, like, you now you have to pick a side at this point. And even when you pick a side, like, there's still a huge chance that those people are not going to trust you and not going to want to work with you, because all these lies just came out like all at once. And so everything feels really heavy on everybody. And now, like, you have to come back in and you have to try to figure out how to keep yourself, how to keep your ass out of elimination in the next few days again, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I'm really curious to see how he moves forward and what his plan's going to be.
So I sent you the clip. It's from the Official Challenge podcast.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
So, you know, and like we were saying, Seabass gets eliminated and Tori comes down and gives him a hug and all of that.
Yeah.
And I guess what happened after that we didn't see is that Seabass came back up to Tori and got down on one knee and was reaching in his pocket. And she's like, oh, fuck, I had PTSD. Like, this has happened before. And TJ apparently was like, not again. And he pulled out like a heart-shaped rock, you yeah. know, which is cute, but still, like, I found that really fucking funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you guys catch the preview for next week?
Dude, what is going on in that daily that everybody's crying?
Yeah, I want to know.
Like, Michaela.
I've never seen Michaela like that, but also Fessy being like, if I'm freaked the fuck out, then everyone's freaked the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. Why is there food?
Well, yeah. Because that's a thing, too, is like it should.
Oh, that's rough.
It shows them running and jumping and like jumping to grab, you know, something in the air, like hanging from whatever. Anyway, it is. But I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, is it just like a really fucking high jump or something? I don't know. I don't know, but
stay tuned.
That was really all I got yeah, from the.
That's all I paid attention to. Yeah,
the one thing I will say, just because I did just shit on Fessel there for a second, I actually really liked the conversation between him and Underwood, even though, like, I initially wrote that it was a conversation and it was also kind of their confessionals that were interspersed. But Fessel being like, dude, like, yeah, you're going into elimination, but that does not mean your game is over. Like, you're a big guy and you're good at a lot of this. Like, you can come back from this.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to hear that from Fessel, because, like, it was true. Like, it's true. And it's also a really good way to look at it. And coming from Survivor, there's probably that mentality of just like, when your name is up, you're out. You don't get to fight your way back in. Well, I guess Chris actually did get to fight his way back in. But under normal circumstances, for the purpose of what I'm saying, you don't get back in. You're done.
You're done. You're exactly. gone. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. Look, I thought it was a good episode. Not a great mm-hmm. episode, but a good episode. It's setting us up for what's inevitably what we all see coming, which is, at some point, vets are going to have to turn on vets. Survivor's going to have to turn on Survivor.
Yep.
Big Brother has to just try to maintain. They're down to amazing. They're down to amazing race numbers now. So it's going to be interesting to watch how this all plays out. So
fucked up.
I know, but it's honest. And that's what I'm trying to be.
Really quick.
Know thyself.
Really quick before we move on to closing out the episode. Since he's now gone and, you know, all the jokes aside, I want to know, what did you guys think about Sebastian? Would you like to see him back on another challenge season?
Yes.
I wouldn't mind, but I also wouldn't mind if we didn't see him. Like, I don't.
You're just kind of indifferent.
He didn't really give me anything that I'm like, oh, I got to see him. Like, where Jay, I got something like right. that from him.
Yeah.
You know, some of the other, you know, people we've seen on the challenge. I just. I don't know. I need more tape, as Tony likes to hear.
Well, conveniently for me, I had more tape because at the same time that I was watching this season of The Challenge USA 2, I was also watching Ghost Island, which was his season of Survivor. So I would very much like to see Seabass back again. I liked what he brought to the show. He brought a bit of levity and he took it seriously. And he's a fan of the show, but he didn't take it so seriously that he couldn't enjoy himself. And I feel that some people, when they come into this game, are just like, I have to get a callback. This is I have to play this game hard. I have to like do everything right.
I can see that
he was fine doing stuff wrong.
Yeah, he had a good time with it, you know. Yeah. And so I don't know. I enjoyed Seabass a lot. My thing is I think I'm a little under where you are, but a little above where Rick is. Like, I'm not necessarily indifferent towards him, but I'm also like not ready to like riot to have him back on. Right. You know, so I think it'd be cool to see him back again. But, you know, if he goes off and just does his own thing and lives his little mermaid man life, then I'm fucking down for that, too.
I think my thing with it is. Because he linked up with Tori so quick, we didn't have to see him play his own game.
That's
true. So it makes me hesitant. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe he comes back and we get to see him. You know,
and I'd be okay with that. Know? Like, I'm not mad about it, or like, I'm not like, oh, I'd never want to see this guy again. Like, I just, whatever.
Yeah.
Do what you do, challenge.
That's fair.
You know, cast away.
Right.
Sorry, had to. I think that pretty much wraps it up for tonight.
The only other thing that I wanted to say is I want to give out an MVP, probably just because this is like very, very seldom that I'm ever actually able to do this.
Okay.
But I'm going to hand out an MVP to Mr. Fessel for this episode. I think he just did a really great job all the way through. He did a great job on the daily. He was able to accomplish what he needed to and wanted to accomplish in nominations with Tori. I think that he had a really great episode, and it's not often that we get an opportunity to give him MVP. So that's my MVP for the week.
I've got co-male MVPs, and that's going to be Fessel as well. Mm-hmm. And by everything you said about Fessel, and then Chris. And solely for winning the elimination and creating a really awkward situation in the house from here on out. So thank you, Chris. I appreciate that, sir. This should get interesting. Female MVP is Tori for that fucking lick she took on the first or second jump and kept going. So
and you know what else? Really quick, just to add on to your Tori thing, because I'm going to back that up for a female MVP is in case anybody missed it in the episode. I just want to reiterate, she 6 out of 9.
She's
6 for 9 this season. Like, holy shit.
It's impressive.
I will back that up.
I'm waiting for Mozzie to figure out what she's doing.
Okay, why we're
she's trying to figure out her MVP.
Gonna stick with Hive Mind on this one. I have co-male MVPs. I'm on video now saying that my MVP for this episode is Fessel.
Yeah.
We never thought that this was going to happen when I had to make an entire season of trying to find something nice to say about him every episode.
Oh, the historian's going to be stoked.
Oh, yeah. No, you're getting recruited right now.
Well, I'm recording with him tomorrow.
There you go.
But yeah, like, he did everything right. Managed to, like, I understand that Underwood's mad at him, but like, that's not going to last because he needs Fessy as much as Fessy needs him. So he managed to make the move that he needed to make, and I don't really think there's a lot of blood on his hands for it. And he made a lot of sense this episode, like what he was saying to people, but also what he was saying in confessionals. Like, just because you're voted in doesn't mean you're voted out.
Exactly. And,
like, co-MVP, obviously, to Underwood, because, yeah, he did put himself in that situation. But he also got himself out of that situation, and he had that moment of like, well, fuck, everyone's against me, followed by that moment of, I have to get myself out of it. Nobody else is coming to help me on this one. It's on me. And he did it. So props to Underwood. And then I will say female MVP, obviously 6 out of 9 dailies and still running the game from within the game and really not being a target of anyone, which is shocking because she's like the only female that left and is a champ and is one of the bigger names in the challenge right now. I haven't heard anyone say her name, though. Like, I haven't really heard anyone go after her.
That's because all the guys want to keep her around to have her potentially have her as a partner in the final. And she's working with all the strong girls who are winning dailies or who could potentially win dailies. And aside from that, she's only lost 3 dailies. Ever since they've gone individual, she's won every daily. So, you know, I think once we see a new female daily winner, if it's not even, I don't know, even if it is Desi, Chanel or Michaela, I just have that feeling that when they get their chance, they're going to take a shot. Like, because they know. Yeah, exactly.
I think they're taking a shot at a guy.
You think? You don't think they'll try to take a shot at a strong girl?
Right now they're still on that. We're all the girls. No more girls. Let's vote guys. Yeah. Guys.
Well, especially because it was so female heavy elimination at the start too.
Yeah.
And then as for confessionalist giver, that's a co-title as well between Michaela and Michelle because they really carried this episode in every aspect.
100%. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you on that one too. So I second it or third it, whatever. All right. Well, guys, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're watching on YouTube or for listening to us on wherever you listen to your podcasts, we really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
If you get an opportunity, leave us a rating, 5 stars and above. If you don't, like, we understand. We ask that you don't do that, but we get it if you do. It's whatever. Either way, we love y'all. We hope you guys are doing well. So for myself, Ricky Hayes, my beautiful wife, Karina Hayes, and for the one and only Tony Lance. That's stats and info, just by the way. Throwing that out there.
Oh, my God.
We want to thank you guys so much, and we hope you have a good one. Bye.
Later.
Bye.